Hello friends, Denny Pruto here with another lesson on the subject of biblical typology. In this lesson I'm giving you an example of a biblical type, and my objective is to affirm the principles that we reviewed in our last lesson. The biblical type that I'm setting before you is the Old Testament church in the wilderness as a type of the New Testament church in this world, in this age. And I want to validate from Scripture that this is indeed a biblical type and anti-type, or answer to the type. Now, the basic principles that we're following are simply these. First of all, a biblical type is designated in Scripture. This is very important. As I said in my last lesson, searching for biblical types is not looking for leprechauns under rocks. Biblical types are designated for us in the Bible. And biblical types are institutions, offices, persons, or events that foreshadow something in the New Testament. Persons or offices or institutions or events in the Old Testament which foreshadow something in the New Testament. Biblical types are in the same family as similes and parables. And for this reason, biblical types are often designated in Scripture by the use of similes. Biblical types establish comparisons, a comparison between a person in the Old Testament and a person in the New Testament, etc. And this comparison is often given to us by way of simile. And because similes and parables are in the same families as types, biblical types are interpreted in a way similar to parables. That is, when you interpret a parable, you look for the main thrust of the parable, the main point in the parable. You don't go down all the tracks of the things that are mentioned in the parable and try to find comparisons with all the individual things in a parable. If you do that, you're going to run amok in your interpretation. The idea is to get the central point in the parable. Now, biblical types, again, are designated in Scripture. And I want to show you that this biblical type, the church in the wilderness of the Old Testament, is designated as a type of the New Testament church. And this is given to us in a couple of ways. But in order to get there, I want to give you some of the biblical background. And doing so, we turn first of all to Exodus chapter 17. In Exodus 17, the people of God have been delivered from bondage in Egypt, and they are approaching Mount Sinai, and they've come into the wilderness. And Acts 17 really begins their wilderness journey. And I'll just pick up in Exodus 17 at verse 5. And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb. And you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" When the people entered the wilderness and approached Mount Sinai or Horeb, they were grumbling because they were thirsty, and they were angry with Moses for coming out of Egypt. They thought they would die in the wilderness. And so God said to Moses, take the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go to the rock, and strike the rock, and water will come out, and the people will drink. And Moses did so, and the people did drink. And he called the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people, and because the people tested the Lord at that place, saying, is the Lord among us or not? This is an astonishing rhetorical question. They expected the answer no, but of course the proper answer is yes. God was with them. They had already seen many miracles. As I say, this is the beginning of the wilderness journey. In Numbers chapter 20, at the end of the wilderness journey, for a second time the people grumble, and Moses, at the direction of God, brings water from the rock. And the wilderness experience is bracketed by these two events, Exodus 17 and Numbers 20, God bringing water from the rock for the people of God. Now, when you turn to Psalm 95, Psalm 95 mentions this incident. I'll break into Psalm 95 at verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed this generation. So now here is the 40-year period in the wilderness mentioned, the testing of God by the people of God, the people of God testing him at Meribah and at Massah, and the connection with the past in Psalm 95 with this circumstance at Meribah and at Massah with the use of a simile. Do not harden your hearts as at Massah. So don't be like the people of old. The Bible is setting up the wilderness experience as a type, and it's doing so, first of all, by the use of simile in Psalm 95, and looking to the past, and looking back to the time of the wilderness. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 and the Apostle Paul, because the Apostle Paul is in 1 Corinthians 10 warning the church at Corinth about not being rebellious as the people of old in the wilderness were rebellious. And I'll begin at verse 1 in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. Paul, that is referring back to the time of Moses and the deliverance of God's people under the hand of Moses. And the people were united to Moses in this deliverance. They were united to Moses as they were under the glory cloud. They were united to Moses when they passed through the sea. They were united to Moses when they ate the manna in the wilderness. They were united to Moses when they ate of the meat from heaven, the quail that God gave to the people of Israel. They were united to Moses when they drank from the rock. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Now, here Paul uses a metaphor. The rock was Christ. In other words, Jesus Christ was following the people of God through the wilderness, and he was supplying all of their needs. And the idea is, again, that the wilderness experience is bracketed by these two circumstances, Exodus 17 on one hand and Numbers 20 on the other hand. God bringing water from the rock in Exodus 17 and God bringing water from the rock in Numbers chapter 20. And this bracket is the bracket of the wilderness experience. And during this wilderness experience, Jesus Christ was with the people of God. And verse 5 says, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness." The church in the wilderness was a rebellious church, a rebellious people. And in verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, "Now these things took place as examples for us." In the English Standard Version and in the New American Standard Version and in the other English versions, the word example is given to us, or examples. But the Greek word is the word tupoi, or types. These things were given to us as types. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling us. In other words, the experience of the church in the wilderness was typological. And the Apostle Paul is now making the connection between the church in the wilderness in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament, specifically here with the church at Corinth. He says something similar in verse 11 in 1 Corinthians 10. "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the ends of the ages has come." The word Paul uses here is tupikos, or typologically. "Now these things happened to them typologically." In other words, the church in the wilderness of the Old Testament is a type of the church in the New Testament. The experience of the people of God in the wilderness in the Old Testament is typological of the church in this age, and we call it the church in the wilderness of this age. The church in the wilderness of the Old Testament foreshadows the church of this age in the New Testament era. And as I say, types are in the same families as similes and parables. What does this mean? This means that there is a central theme which is given to us in the church of the wilderness in the Old Testament. And we saw this already in Exodus chapter 20, that there was testing that was being taking place in the church of the wilderness in the Old Testament. Listen to how the Apostle Paul goes on now in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you which is not common to man. God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." The word translated temptation here in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is the word in the original language, which can also be translated tested or testing. It's exactly the same word. Let's read it utilizing this alternate meaning. No test has overtaken you that is not common to man. God tested the church in the wilderness in the Old Testament, and God is testing us in the church in the New Testament in a similar way. This is the central thrust of the comparison, of this typological comparison. No test has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your ability. But with the testing, he will also provide an escape or provide a way through the test that you may be able to endure it. In other words, in the church of the New Testament, we are being tested. We are being tested in this circumstance as the church of the Old Testament was being tested. The church in the Old Testament is a type of the church in the New Testament. The church in the Old Testament, as the people underwent their testing, is typological of and foreshadows the testings that you and I endure and through which God is taking us in the church in the New Testament. The church in the Old Testament is a type of the church in the New Testament. Now, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3, because Hebrews chapter 3 quotes from Psalm 95. And Hebrews chapter 3 quotes from Psalm 95 using the Greek version of the Old Testament, that is the Septuagint. And you'll see this momentarily. In Hebrews chapter 3, as in the rest of the book of Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews is warning those to whom he's writing not to turn back from Jesus Christ and from the salvation that has been extended to them through Jesus Christ. In a similar way, the Apostle Paul is warning the church at Corinth and, of course, warning the New Testament church not to turn back to idolatry, but to follow the living God. Now, listen to Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll come to the quotation of Psalm 95. Therefore, holy brethren, you who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as a builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. We are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. The house in the Old Testament foreshadowed the house in the New Testament. Moses, as the leader of the house in the Old Testament, foreshadowed Jesus Christ as the leader of the house or the church in the New Testament. We saw this last time in our lesson introducing biblical typology. God said to Moses, I will raise up a prophet like you, and to him the people must pay attention. In Acts, the apostles tell us that the prophet like Moses is Jesus Christ. In other words, Moses is a type of Christ. The connection is made by way of simile. The church in the Old Testament is a type of the church in the New Testament. And Hebrews chapter 3 is giving us a warning not to turn back. Now comes the quotation of Psalm 95. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The writer to the Hebrews is quoting from Psalm 95, utilizing the Septuagint, which speaks of Meribah as the rebellion and Massa as the rebellion, and has the entire 40 years, as the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 has the entire 40 years in mind. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. What happened in the wilderness and in the rebellion? Testing took place. The warning is for us not to be as the people were in the Old Testament. Connection by way of simile. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The rebellion of the people in the Old Testament church is typological of the church in the New Testament, where we are prone to grumble and complain. Again, the writer to the Hebrews quotes from Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, this is verse 15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not those who left Egypt led by Moses? Yes, these were the people delivered. We are the people delivered. Delivered by Moses in the Old Testament. Delivered by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Tested in the Old Testament in the wilderness. Tested in the New Testament in this era. As the rebellion. Tested as in the rebellion. Warning in the New Testament. The Old Testament church foreshadows the New Testament church. We can learn from the Old Testament church, and we need to learn from the Old Testament church. And we dare not be as they were in their rebellion. And so it seems to me that the Bible does establish the church in the wilderness in the Old Testament as a type of the church in the wilderness in the New Testament. And so we have this connection, which is established by Scripture, which is also described for us by way of simile, and we see the central comparison in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the idea of testing. In our next lesson, I want to take up another biblical comparison and lay out this biblical comparison for you, and again establish the principles for understanding types and interpreting biblical types. Thanks for listening.